Hello friends, welcome again. It's Friday and I think this actually is gonna come out on Saturday. I had a little bit of an emergency going on today and well, just to let you know, I'm a little bit of a prepper as well, and I was getting moths flying about in the house, and that was quite strange. And my wife found out that from where we keep some of the seeds and the nuts, a couple of those bags were not actually sealed, you know, so they got into the walnuts somehow and they started proliferating. And so I had to vacuum and clean and do a lot of stuff, you know, just to keep up with the whole goods that we maintain, just in case, you know, something goes kind of wrong. And I guess I would suggest that you keep a couple of weeks of food, you know, either canned or sealed, dry foods, or just, you know, a bunch of water as well. You never know what's going to happen. So, yeah, happy Friday. I would like to welcome you, Luis Fernando Mises. And last time, I think I promised I was going to talk about Bitcoin in a more basic way. And this is because I've gotten a bunch of feedback and people telling me that whatever I explained last time was not really basic and they felt lost. So now if you're like, well, shit, you know, I don't want to waste my time, let me stop you right there, because there are some things that you may actually like as well, you know, things that you may have not considered. I'm not saying that I know everything. I'm just saying, let's see what you think about this. And you know, I would love to hear your feedback. I'm always welcoming feedback. So I first of all, I just want to tell you that, like I was saying, I'm not an expert, but I guess I do know a little bit about this. So first, right off the bat, let's talk about money. What is money? So money is a medium of exchange, and it could be anything. You know, back the Aztecs used cacao, the Mayans too. Throughout, you know, millennia, we've used gold. And I actually keep a round of gold in my pocket because, you know, after watching John Wick, I don't know if you've seen that movie, I was like, oh, snap, you know? I mean, just in case hell breaks loose, I'll have a, you know, an ounce of gold and I can buy food and guns in case I need them. So this, you know, just a little geek fact about me. So it's interesting that something about the dollar, you know, it's a fiat currency. If you pull out your wallet, you see that it says in gold and God we trust. And you know, we used to say that it used to say that it was a certificate for silver or gold. You know, it didn't say in God we trust. So they changed that. Fiat means let it be done. So in other words, your money is because I said so. And who says so? The Federal Reserve. So it has really no intrinsic value. I mean, gold does not have intrinsic value, but you can use gold for so many other things. That's one of the many reasons why it has a lot of good value. Your bills in your wallet are 98% cotton, 2% paper. They're really not very precious. The rounds sometimes, you know, the nickels, the pennies, whatever, sometimes it's more costly to create them than the actual value, face value of the coin. And you know, a lot of people say, well, shit, I don't like money. Money's dirty, whatever. A lot of people have a shadow with money. They have this idea that money is not a good thing. I think the primary problem with this is that we have, for the most part, have had a monopoly of money. It's socialized currency held by the state or by a kingdom, which is the same thing. What people don't really like is not money. What they don't like is where it comes from and who gives it to you. So that's, you know, because they would, I mean, defacing currency has been happening forever, and like that's how they used to hurt a lot of, you know, they would chip the gold coins, silver coins, and so it was, mishandling has happened for hundreds of years. So that's one of the reasons why people don't really like money. And what's not to like about money? Money represents efforts, your skill, your time. So it's something to love because it's an extension of your energy, of yourself. So a lot of people say also that Bitcoin is a fiat currency as well. Well, not quite. It's backed by mathematics and the blockchain. Something I really enjoy is being able to geek out. So I was telling my wife the other day, you know, gosh, Satoshi Nakamoto in 2008 saw a huge opportunity and say, screw it, I'm gonna make a technology backed up by mathematics that will take the ability of the state way to rob and subjugate and kill. It really blows my mind just to think about it. You know, he or she or it or they, because at this point we don't know if like the real identity of Satoshi Nakamoto, if it's an individual or a group. And that kind of adds to the mystery and makes it cooler. It's kind of important, you know, I think, not to call it a cryptocurrency when you're talking to other people, because it creates kind of a dark cloud behind it. And so some people cannot wrap their minds around the idea of cryptocurrency. So for ease, let's just call it currency. And Bitcoin is the first decentralized digital currency. It's not the first digital currency, but it's the first decentralized one. Peer-to-peer electronic cash system. You don't need a middleman. You don't need a bank. That's actually pretty sweet if you think about it. I've heard rumors that Satoshi was, you know, recently dead and whatever. I don't know. I will be really interested to learn more about it. If you think about this for a little bit, the idea that the internet first app was the email. Now, you remember back in the day, right? You used to like dial in and just get the tone and you know, you got mail. Everybody remembers that. Well, not everybody, but some of us that are at least, you know, 40 and I don't know, 30 maybe and above, we remember those things. So that was pretty amazing. Now you can listen to me right now from the comfort of your own phone, probably through Bluetooth earplugs. That's amazing. So put that idea to Bitcoin and the blockchain. The blockchain allows Bitcoin to work that way, but it's a symbiotic relationship. Bitcoin allows the distributed database to be bulletproof, just like a house of glass, but it's bulletproof. Everybody can see it. And this will prevent a lot of misdeeds. It's quite interesting. So Bitcoin is kind of like the first app of the blockchain. A lot of good things are going to come out of this. And you know, the deeper you dig, and I'm not going to try to get super deep into this also, because, you know, I'm trying to keep it kind of basic. The banking system, as I think we talked about a little bit about this sometime before, it serves about 1 billion people around the world. And what about the other 7 billion? So this happens because they don't have access to government issues identifications, you know, either password, driver's license, or whatever. So with no money to get it, you know, they're underserved. It's kind of difficult for them to be able to even get a job and get paid because of that, because of the current monetary cartel. China and India are primarily moved by cash. They have the largest populations too. And as you know, I import kratom from Indonesia. One of my suppliers is from there, and he has a smartphone. You know, they're kind of humble. They don't have all the cool things that we have here, but most of them have smartphones. And the beauty about this is I, from the United States, can send him Bitcoin, and he is able to move that over there, and it just gets sent fast and cheap. And he has access to it without any kind of middleman. It's just between him and I. And he sends me the kratom. That's super fantastic. It's a disruptive nature. It's a technology that is here to break the old stuff. I'm not here for boring. You know, we don't want to just be the money managers and money changers of the past. Bitcoin is here to break the old cartels. And by doing this, it also is going to help us move towards the other 7 billion people that are underserved, that don't have access to banking. And suddenly you don't have to beg a stupid bank for services. You can do Bitcoin, and it can be faster, cheaper, and the transactions are a little bit cheaper too. You know, sending Bitcoin to Indonesia versus, you know, asking permission from banks and governments to send money. We're going to touch a little bit about mining, not a whole lot. What is mining? Mining is a record-keeping system. At first, some individuals would mine, but right now it's so competitive that it's not very profitable. You have to have like really big mining entities, and the majority of them are in China. It's at its peak now, and then it will start to become more decentralized. I'm thinking that it's going to go to a lot of European countries because it's easier to cool down the machines, just keeping the windows down. You don't have to run fans or ACs or any of that. So what mining does is it keeps the blockchain consistent, complete, and unalterable. Those are three main traits that are so important. By repeatedly verifying and collecting the data of the transactions in the block, the successful miner, when it does these seemingly impossible equations, gets rewarded with Bitcoin. So that's basically what mining is. There are only so many Bitcoin in existence, and when the transactions happen, the mining person or entity gets a reward, and that's how Bitcoin is accessed. Right now, there's about 19 million Bitcoin currently in circulation, and there cannot be more than 21 million. That's part of the program. Some people will lose their Bitcoin by sending it to wrong addresses, getting lost. Maybe they die, they don't have access to it. There's tiny inflation only with Bitcoin, but it will be offset by, people losing their Bitcoin. Another cool thing is the wallet. It's an amazing concept, and it can be on your phone or on your computer, or even offline. They store your digital credentials for your Bitcoin holdings. Chew that for a second. Bitcoin is not an anonymous coin, it's a pseudonymous. What this means is your funds are not attached to a real world entity. They're attached to Bitcoin addresses. So your name is not going to be pegged to your money necessarily, which is kind of cool too because it affords you some protection. You will have a Bitcoin address, which imagine, like a telephone number, right? Or your router, your IP. But you can generate new ones, and that's fairly easy and it's free, it's part of it. What, aside from all these geeky things that I absolutely love, the philosophical aspect is actually one of my favorites. Why Bitcoin? Why Bitcoin? To get away from central banking, to get away from the monopoly. This in itself is a great reason because also I want to access my money anytime, anywhere, without depending on a bank. Remember what happened to Greece and many other places around the world, what this has happened with capital controls, and they freeze your cash so you cannot access it and people are suffering. That's nothing more than theft, right? So you really cannot do that with Bitcoin. It's convenient, faster. You have more choices. There are no middlemen, peer-to-peer, and it's fungible. And you can invest. Right now, it's up to above $2,800. A year ago, exactly, was about 584. So that's like over $2,000 that has gone up in 1 year. I don't know of any investment that has done that. We recently sold our house, and we made a chunk of cash there, but we didn't make this much money. This is incredibly crazy. I wish I had invested more into this. I saw a meme on Facebook, Matrix related, and it has Neo. It says, "So you're saying that my Bitcoin will be worth $1 million at some point?" And Prometheus says, Prometheus, I'm sorry. Morpheus says, "No, Neo. What I'm saying is that when the time is right, you will need to sell your Bitcoin." That's pretty impressive. No, your dollars are tanking. The inflation is going up the roof. Every time I go buy groceries, they're more expensive. The idea is that people have increased their wealth by keeping Bitcoin too. Aside from being a currency and a mathematical equation, it's stimulating the mind and it has other fascinating traits. And one of the cooler things is that it will keep the warmongers from making war profitable for them and them alone. Lastly, some people say, "Well, crap, I don't want to have to invest in Bitcoin because I cannot use it in my daily life." I have a Visa card, I have a BitPay account, and I can use that anywhere in the world that takes Visa. So basically, I'm moving my money away from the monopoly, the cartels, into Bitcoin, which is free money, liberty money, not the socialist kind of free, but like really like liberty money. And I can just pay. I used to have the Shift card. Shift Payments is an amazing entity, but they're pegged with Coinbase. And Coinbase, they're very persnickety with their rules. It's horrible. I got kicked out just because I sell kratom. And when I go to Whole Foods, I pay with my iPhone with Apple Pay, which is pegged with my BitPay account. I mean, gosh, we're in a Jetsons world if you really think about it. Just like my friend Jeffrey Tucker always says. You have the ability to do a lot with it. It's not just for geeks. If you think about it, the technology has going, you know, in a trajectory that's going upwards forever, with the exception of batteries, which I hate. You know, we've had the same technology for 100 years, and money. Money is the other thing that has never changed. Televisions change, computers, planes, cars, everything changes, but money and batteries. Bitcoin offers that ability to be able to evolve with money. Friedrich Hayek said that the idea of decentralizing money was something that was really important, and Bitcoin is doing that, and all the other trades that I mentioned. And so, I mean, that's all I have today. I just wanted to explain what Bitcoin was and hopefully very understandable terms. If you like it, please share this, and I hope that I can hear from you as well. This is again Luis Fernando Mises with Emancipated Radio. I hope you like this. Have a fantastic weekend.